This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
You tell me, even at this age, you say, hey, Rhett, you're a very considerate guy, holding the doors open for somebody. I may not even notice it. Well, from there on out, I'm going to be, hey, Paul said, I'm let me hold that door for you. I mean, I'm going to do it even more often. I want to live up to that praise. I remember I used to pick up this old lady, little old Italian lady, and to go to a Bible study. This is 30 years ago. And she's, oh, Rhett, you look so handsome with your tie and your jacket. I happened to wear a tie and jacket one night. So every week after that, I'm picking her up on Tuesday nights. I would put this time, put another time. I wanted to live up to that praise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for all of us.
All of us. And it, and even, you know, how you characterize yourself. Like, for instance, I see a lot of power in words. I'm not going to say, you know, gosh, I feel like an old man, because I don't. You know, I think the last time I was here with you, one of the prior times, I claim I claim Moses. You know, Moses' eyes did not go dim, and
I'm going to write that to me, because I'm going to claim it too.
Yeah, you know, I want to work until I die. I want to.
Oh, absolutely.
Retirement's
not biblical. Yeah. I saw somebody who was a very big guy in the Catholic Church. I'm talking like a Monsignor,
mm-hmm.
and. When he said he was going to retire a few years ago, I thought, well, he's still a young guy. What's he doing? And I was in a restaurant this weekend, and he went shuffling by, like putting a foot through a few inches and another foot a few inches. And what happened to him? Now, maybe he has a debilitating disease, but I don't know the story. I didn't ask.
There's too many stories you hear about, you know, somebody retires today, and 2 weeks later
Someone in my family, my cousin was married to somebody, and he retired, and 9 months later died of cirrhosis of the liver.
Right.
They didn't know he was down in the basement in his workroom drinking away because they don't know what to do with himself.
It's interesting. So I made some notes coming here just so I could have some ideas of things to. And one of the things that an important Bible verse to me has been Ecclesiastes 5:18.
What is that?
Behold, that I have seen. Behold. What I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. And that verse early on resonated with me. It's like, okay, I need to find joy in my work. And it's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, the work of our hands is a blessing, and
my father graduated
that way.
Law, got his what do you call it when you pass the law, the bar.
The bar.
He sent a text. My grandfather held it his whole life, a telegram that said, "This is great. I never have to work another day in my life." My grandmother didn't understand it.
Right.
What do you mean never? But he found something he loved, just like this. I'm doing 3 hours of interviews today. This is not a burden because I love doing it.
And I've recently had a career change. You know, again. I for 25 years, I practiced as a litigator in workers' compensation cases, representing employers and insurance companies. Most of the, you know, I won't say most, but a number of the businesses on the Treasure Coast I've represented at some point through referrals to from the insurance companies that carry for them.
So you represented the insurance companies?
Yes. And now I'm a full-time mediator. And, you know, that transition was difficult.
Why'd you do that?
More control of my schedule. More control of my time. I was working 60, 70 hours a week. Managing.
So you're sort of a diplomat.
As a mediator? Sort of, I guess. Yeah. Sort of. I just help people come to understand their own position. And this is part of my opening. When I do at the beginning of a mediation, I spend 15 or 20 minutes explaining the process. And part of what I share with people is my role is to help you understand your position a little bit better and help you understand the other side's position a little better so that you have a better ability to come to a resolution. Because if you're just looking at your own perspective, you're going to miss stuff. You're going to miss stuff and perhaps miss an opportunity.
I was in mediation once. I'd had a car accident, and some guy had whizzed by me on his phone, hit the rear end of my Lincoln Town Car, and hit it so hard it swung around completely.
Oh, wow.
Made a half circle or whatever. And So I get a letter saying that this was my fault, and if I don't pay up this $15,000 right now, that if it's not paid within a year, you will lose your ability to have a license in the state of Florida. So this fear, the great news is the night before I'd watched a John Travolta movie about justice, had the word justice in it. And I learned that lawyers use fear as a manipulative thing. And I was reading this letter, and so I said, oh, they're trying to manipulate me. Well, anyway, it got up to the point where they said I owed $60,000-something. So we go into litigation. And so finally, you know, real nervous. What are we going to do here? My attorney's here. We're in mediation, like you said. And I said, well, what about the fact that why don't we look at the phone records? Because he hopped out of his little sports car and he was on the telephone. Would you give us $5,000? And my attorney goes, we'll give you $3,000 right now and you go away forever. Boom. I wrote the check. We were out of there.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, I get people come to me frequently with, you know, I got a letter from a lawyer. Let me look at it. And you know.
Fear, man. They use fear in an evil way.
Yeah. And to manipulate and overstate. And you know, your good lawyers are going to help their clients understand both sides.
How do lawyers get such a street smart? I can remember when I started a little corporation, I had to go to law to break a partnership up when I was in my early 20s. And this guy, Larry Long, I think was his name, in Albany, New York. We got our money, but he walked with me down to the bank in Albany, New York, to get his portion of the check. But I mean, everything he did, he had an uncanny wisdom at an early age. Now, he was old for me because he was in his 30s. But you
not all lawyers have that. You know, sometimes you got to learn through mistakes and experience, or you can have a good mentor. You know, somebody who, you know, poured into you a little bit, or you know, helped you understand what you were doing a little better, a little more depth of understanding.
But some attorneys, there's an old guy in town here. I forget his name. He was state attorney for like 16 years, and he's a really smart guy. But he has an ability, a wisdom, to see things inverted, and it's really like, you know, like Sherlock Holmes. It's quite a nifty gift.
It becomes a life skill that you learn just
to cultivate.
And do some reading. Like I've done some reading on.
You sound like Abe Lincoln. I've done some reading on my own.
some personality disorders and if you pay attention to that, then you can start reading people to some degree.
But you also said you have a gift of discernment.
Yeah, and I had to recognize, you know, that's something.
It's taken me 60 years of living to learn. If it smells like a skunk, acts like and walks like, no, he's not a skunk. Yep. And she says, the Bible says, if only a fool does not confer with his wife. She says, don't do business with him. And you go and do it anyway, and you wonder why you got burned.
And a false humility would cause, sometimes I have to say, well, you know, have I just gotten lucky in reading of this and understanding of that and so forth?
Yeah.
Or is it really my gift? And that false humility would have me deny the gift.
What?
In other words, if I'm concerned that I come across proud because of a gift that's been given to me, I may not use it. I may not recognize it. I may ignore it. But if I understand it, as you've referred, in other words, okay, I'm aware that sometimes I can pick up on somebody I better listen to myself. I better listen to that inner spirit that's saying, hey, be careful. Hey,
every time I ignore that, oh no, he's a good person, burned again.
Right.
And women, it says in the Bible that the fool does not confer with his wife. Because women generally have a stronger intuition. Mm-hmm. I happen to be very intuitive myself.
Well, you have to also balance it so that you're not casting judgment immediately either. In other words, I'm going to guard and protect myself.
Yes.
But I'm not going to treat you poorly because I've gotten some impression about you. I'm just going to be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful.
And we've all been prejudiced.
Yeah.
Whether it's with skin color or it's religion or it's somebody in tattered clothing. We found out later in life, I'm not picking on you because you're an attorney, but you know, you go to Vincent's Italian restaurant 30 years ago, and you see these guys in ties and jackets, you think, well, they're the rich guys. And there's some other guy in rags over in the corner. He's the billionaire.
Right.
It's the guys that are struggling that are wearing the ties and the jackets, you know. So it's all is not as it seems.
No. But, you know, my testimony has been more about recognizing God's work in my life as I've lived it.
He's faithful to give us lessons, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, it's written that Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows. And I've had a lot of sorrows, and I also have had a lot of lessons. And I realize that, you know, even God's son, when he was rearing him, we don't know what happened from the time he was 12 up until he started his ministry at 30. So where was he? It says he was a man acquainted with many sorrows.
And
we don't learn when we're fat and happy. We learn in the valleys.
Well, and that's, you know, there's a, I'm trying to remember who it is that I've heard say this, but there's a pastor who refers to problems as opportunities, almost, you know, euphemistically.
I think he's right.
But yeah, you know what? And that's
the
not
Greeks
a bad...
have a saying, for every obstacle is an equivalent blessing.
Right.
And it's true.
And it's just got to keep, how you maintain your perspective, you know, and how you, okay, process it. You can either let it occupy you and dominate you, or you can figure it out, you know, work toward figuring it out and moving forward.
Are you happy you became an attorney?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You seem to really enjoy using your mind.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's been it's, I think it has served me well.
You're a sharp guy, but you seem humble. I mean, you don't seem impressed with yourself or, you know, that you're, you know,
I had teenagers to keep me humble.
And perhaps your wife, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, God. You're the servant of the household,
right.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
The greatest among you shall be the servant of the rest.
Mm-hmm. And, but, yeah, I try, you know, yeah, to be aware of that. And there are times you can have, you know, you'd have a case where, everything is going my way, and you end up with a swagger.
Privacy at the fall and all that.
Yeah. And I've, you referred to the verse, you know, God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. That verse has stayed with me, and I want to be aware
of that. So I've had a problem with maybe I felt less than, mm-hmm. and then I'll go to the other side where people may think I'm arrogant, but what I'm trying to do is just prove myself.
Right.
And you throw, where's this coming from? Oh, because you feel less than.
Neither of those are acceptable positions to be in.
No.
Because, the proud is easy. The false humility, or the humility that diminishes you and diminishes what God's working in you, you are diminishing God's work there.
You know, don't think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less often.
Right.
Right. Say that's it.
Well, and right.
When I interviewed Billy Graham, I brought up the word humility, and he leaned in and he said, "Well, Red, if we're talking about it, we haven't got it."
That's funny. I like that. I like
it. Really, it's good.
That is good.
Oh man.
You know, and there's a lot. You know, part of since I've become a mediator as well, as I've done some reading in the area of emotional intelligence and
emotional intelligence,
your ability to self-assess, self-govern, and assess the emotions of others.
Well, didn't Paul say judge yourself?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.